the deeds of God. When he says, let's go to war with this country, is he doing the deeds of God or of his father? His father is revealed as not God, but the belief in the absence of God. Mortal mind has no concept or awareness of the presence of God. That's why it puts God up in the sky. Do you see that sin is automatic? That sin is automatic for every human being? A human being is controlled but doesn't know it. World mind controls every human being on the face of the earth. World mind does the breathing, and world mind decides when to stop breathing. World mind beats the heart and decides when to stop the heart. World mind individualizes just as the ocean individualizes into waves. The world mind individualizes as the individual human mind. It has its own captive audience now, and in you and me, the human mind is going 24 hours a day turning away from Christ, broadcasting a world situation, doing the deeds of our Father. And our Father is right here indicated to be the world mind. Until we awaken from that dream, the world mind functioning each individual builds the dream, the Adam dream, the dream of a human selfhood, a mortal being, not under the law of God, not governed by God, not living in the kingdom of God, struggling and striving to survive in a world of opposites, in a world of animosity, in a world where what is core life can become death in 5 seconds. This is the controlled dream of the world mind operating through its outlets in each human being called the human mind. This is the Christ message to us. Ye do the deeds of your Father. And if you're not aware of this, you continue right on doing the deeds of your Father. Because not knowing that world mind is living through and as you, you continue to turn away from the Christ which liberates you from the dream, satisfied with moments of good, hoping to perpetuate them, hoping to convert moments of bad into moments of good, continuing on this way until the bubble of the dream is burst, until the image is no longer even an image. Ye do the deeds of your Father, says Christ, to the human mind. Fortunately, we've all been lifted up sufficiently so that we can understand these things now. We can see the futility of continuing in humanhood. It has no place to go. We can see why the message was pushed aside. We can see why we in previous incarnations could not understand the message. But each incarnation possibly lifted us higher and higher to the moment where we can look at it without blanching, where we can realize this isn't something to look at with suspicion anymore, but it is really offering to us a sort of a communion with our own soul. Finally, glimmering through the clouds of mistrust and doubt comes the realization that these are the words placed here by our own soul to edify us, to lift us out of the false sense of life, the sense of life that ends. When we can see that we are the Pharisees who are doing the deeds of our Father, who is not God, we know we're in the wrong place, in the wrong time, in the wrong body, in the wrong sense of self. We're still in the dream. And we might even be grateful for the knowledge that we have recognized the nature of the dream. For only armed with that understanding can we concentrate upon standing in true identity, so that the dream cannot perpetuate itself through our enlightened consciousness. We have been doing the deeds of our Father up to the point where we began to know that God was present right on the earth, that God was the very living spirit of our own being, and that superimposed upon the truth of our being was a sense mind world appearing only within that sense mind. And now detaching from it, finding in the midst of it the very manufacturer of that sense mind world to be my mind in collusion with the world mind, we are attaining a level of freedom which is known to few people on the earth. But it is definitely part of the way showing for the kingdom of God for all those who have reached that level of understanding which says, to mine own self I will now be true. Not to the self imposed upon me from birth, not to the human sense of things which was clamoring for some kind of security, not to the limited sense of success that the mind had tried to saddle me with. I'm bursting all the bonds, going all the way. I'm getting in that rowboat, and I don't care where that ocean comes or doesn't come, how the winds howl or how the sharks prowl. The other side is where I'm going. And when that conviction in you is established, your rowboat is Christ. And you'll find there's no ocean, and there are no sharks, and there's no wind. All there is Christ. And that's your kingdom. I think here we'll pause a little. Let's just meditate for a moment and get a feeling now of the infinity of Christ. I, in the midst of every individual on the earth, am Christ. I, in the midst of John, Mary, James, I, in the midst of everyone, am greater than the human being who walks the earth. I, the invisible Christ, am real, living, present, everywhere. I am your name and your identity everywhere. And if you will continue in my word, in my identity, so that your identity and Christ are one identity, if you will accept that you are in the midst of every one on the face of the earth, that you have neither friend nor foe, it is all yourself. If you will accept that you are the one infinite Christ self, you are continuing in the Word. And that is your contact with the infinite. That is how you open yourself to the divine. That is how you break the bondage of the dream of mortality. That is how you rise above the limitation of a human mind. And then I will perfect and perform all that concerns thee. For I, in the midst of thee, am greater than all who walk the earth, than all material power. There are no conditions that can attack Christ. There are no conditions that can overcome Christ. When you are standing in I, Christ, the infinite, indivisible self of the universe, You are unconditioned. And that consciousness externalizes as an unconditioned universe for you. Animosities are withdrawn, discords are dissolved, darknesses are enlightened. Relax the limitations of the conditioned world around you are dissolved for you to the measure of your conscious awareness that your name is I, the infinite, indivisible Christ of the universe. Then you do not the deeds of the world mind. Then you do the deeds of the Divine Father, which expresses through and as your peace. Again, step out of human sense of self at this moment by stepping out of your environment as we did before to feel the infinity of yourself. Unconfined to a temporary form, life itself, without boundaries, not living in a temporary environment, but living in the eternal reality of life now. One step. Everywhere. Perfect free spirit. Omnipresence is your name. Omnipresent Christ. There is no one in this world who is not the omnipresent Christ invisible. Make no exception. All are externalizations of the world mind, but that does not change the reality behind everything. The omnipresent Christ is your name right where these forms appear. Crucify the forms, or you crucify the Christ. All power flows from this conscious, continuous realization. That's where your spiritual power comes from. You won't have to waste your time figuring out answers to things. You rest in this infinity of truth and behold, the omnipresent Christ of your own being removes all that is unlike itself from your experience. Not once a day, but try to establish this as frequently as you can until you know that you can rest back in it at will. We'll have a short intermission now, back in about 5-10 minutes. think we'll stay with John 8 because the condition of the human mind is now taken somewhat aback by this attack of the Christ. You do the deeds of your father. And the human mind responds, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now, when they say even God, that means Jehovah in the Hebrew. We have our God. Well, what is this God of the mind? The God of the mind has established good and evil. God hasn't established good and evil. Who has established good and evil? And that's why the Bible is written, to show us that the mind worships the devil. The mind worships the belief in good and evil, thinking that it's believing in God. The mind is automatically divided into good and evil. And so when you come to the place where you're going to no longer accept the decisions of your mind, you're going to see that the only difference between the Christ mind and the human mind is that the human mind believes in good and evil. The Christ mind doesn't believe in good and evil. It believes in the omnipresence of God. And the mind of the human, which believes in God, but not in the omnipresence of God, isn't believing in God at all. It's believing in its own false concept about God. And it's worshiping its own false concept. It's even believing that God created an imperfect human being. And by worshiping a false God, it believes that the human sense of self is the true being. Everything is watered down by the false belief of the hypnotized mind. We believe in God, it says I rightly. And so if you say to every religion on the face of the earth today, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your concept here, and they're worshiping their concept there. And you're saying your concept here is in favor of your nation winning this war, and they're saying their concept there is in favor of their winning this war. But God is saying, what war? How can I be here in a war too? Do you think God is standing by watching wars go on and awarding first prize to the one who kills the most? The human concept of God is completely erroneous. It isn't worshiping God at all. It's strictly a controlled human mind, using words like God with no knowledge of what that means. And so the Christ responds, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were the father of human beings, then every human being would love every human being. If God were the father of human beings, we would not declare war on another nation. If God were the father of human beings, we could not hate or doubt or be in need or be sick. The whole preposterous idea that God is the father of the human being is here revealed before. If God were your father, you would love me. When you find that you love Christ, meaning you recognize Christ as the reality of each individual, then you'll know that God is your father. And until you recognize Christ as the reality of each individual, you're still in that mortal mind which thinks it loves God but doesn't, because it isn't accepting the omnipresence of God. For I, Christ, proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Only Christ is born of God. I came from God, meaning you, mortal being, you didn't come from God. Mortal beings are not born of God. Of course not. That's why we're told to be reborn. Come out of the false concept of mortal birth. He sent me. God is the Father of Christ. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. And so those not in Christ's identity cannot hear the truth that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so they say, oh, there's no such thing as divine revelation. What do you mean you heard a voice and God spoke to you? How ridiculous. Of course not. They never heard a voice speak because, in mortal selfhood, how can you hear the immortal voice of God? In mortal selfhood, how can you be divinely guided? And so Christ speaks in every mortal self, and the mortal self is completely blind and deaf, blinded by self-interest, unable to hear the words of Christ saying, I am the way, I am the self, I am the life, I am the resurrection. You're not poor, I am abundant. You're not sick, I am well. You're not lacking, I am the wine and the water. You're not going to die. I am the life. Mortal mind cannot hear that because it's not in Christ's identity and therefore does not hear the voice of the Father. You have heard the voice. You have felt the presence. Could you possibly, for the rest of your lifespans, not wish to hear more, to know more, to be more in the presence of the Father after having once even felt the miracle of that presence? How could we turn back? But not turning back means turning away from the mind, which does turn back. Away from the mind that is controlled by world thought. And make no mistake about it, unless you do something about turning away from that mind, you will be controlled by world thought, and your life on this plane will be world thought expressing as a mortal dying self. You must crucify the mind or crucify the Christ. Oh, he lets them have it now. Ye are of your father, the devil. And when we thought he was speaking to the Pharisees, it was very convenient. But when we learn he's speaking to every human being on this earth, it's a little embarrassing to realize that for 2,000 years we've been told that the human race is the child of the devil. Even those who speak from the cloth to tell us what great sinners we are children of the devil. Even the moralists among us, even the pipers of piety, whoever is not living in Christ's self is born of the world mind, is in a false sense of identity, regardless of the sweet words they may utter. And eventually it shows up. You can't hide behind the words of the Bible. You must live as the invisible Christ.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do.
He was a murderer from the beginning, meaning the moment of human birth is the first death. Remember later how in John's revelation, if you partake of the first resurrection, you will not be touched or hurt by the second death? The first death has just been given to you here. World mind, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. What is the beginning? The beginning is when we step into form. That's the first murder. That's the first death. What does it mean? It means at that moment of stepping into form, we become dead to our spiritual identity. We now become controlled robots, thinking we're free. He was a murderer from the beginning, your father, that is, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now this is the world mind, and there is no truth in it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of this world is the world mind. You can't go on pretending that God is the father of this world. The world mind is the father of this world, and the kingdom of God is not of this world. And you can't live in this world and expect to be under the law of the Father. See, there are two fathers here. One is the father of the kingdom of reality. One is the father of the world of the myth, the dream. The human being a creation of the father of this world, is part of the dream. And the beginning of that dream is human birth. But it need not be, for as we once more return to the Father's house, the consciousness of I, Christ, we discover that at the moment of human birth into the dream called image, I, Christ, did exist and do exist and am that very one now. But you must forsake the belief of mortal birth. There go all your happy ancestors. I, the Christ, existed before mortal birth and during mortal birth, and even now am that Christ. And that self was not born of the father of lies, who was a murderer from the beginning. The human mind, which came into awareness of itself, was an accomplice of the world mind, both creating a false sense of self where only I, Christ, of you existed. How important it is to renounce mortal birth, I think, follows. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? The Christ does not accept anything but the Christ. There is no sin in Christ. And there is only Christ, omnipresent Christ, and therefore, which of you, which mortal mind, expression, thought, idea, can convince Christ consciousness that there is sin when only Christ is present? If sin is not present and only Christ is present, there is not even a mortal mind. It is the dreamer, and within it is the dream. Our dream of mortality rests in the world mind, which is the dreamer, and there is no such mind. There is no sin. There is no evil. You cannot be in Christ consciousness and believe in evil. You cannot make judgments about good and bad and still be in Christ consciousness. And so when you're making the judgment, you're rejecting Christ. There is no judgment in Christ. And you recognize that when you're in Christ's mind, it's simply a matter of looking out at the world with no judgment. You can't say this is good or that is bad, because the Christ doesn't judge a material world. What's the point of the Christ judging a dream? This is a good dream and that's a bad dream? The only thing there is to mortal mind is the judgment that this is good and that is bad. And when you have transcended judgment, that curious human trait which is so easy to fall into, and you won't condemn this as being bad or praise that as being good, you'll discover you're very close to the Christ mind. And you're not a victim controlled by the world mind, which is making you judge this good and that bad, where there's nothing but perfection in spirit. Judgment, then, is a sign that you're still controlled. You may think you're judging, but you're not. The human mind very blissfully wallows in its own ignorance, thinking it's making judgment. But every judgment is a controlled world judgment seeping through into your false consciousness. There are no judgments in Christ's mind, and there is no mind but Christ's mind. And so when you accept that urge to judge, you are stepping out of the omnipresence of Christ. You are separating from your own identity. You are committing spiritual suicide. It's much easier to withhold judgment and to live in Christ than to commit spiritual suicide and have the temporary pleasure of a judgment. We will overcome this personal sense of self, and you'll discover that the moment you've withheld judgment and you have a mind which can look out and not say this is good and that is bad, you have transcended the mind, the controlled mind, and you have literally escaped from the dominion of world thought. For you, the devil is dead. For you, you have overcome the world. Why? Because nothing can make your mind judge good or evil. You're not tempted. How shall I judge if all is Christ? The liar from the beginning, which has controlled me and forced me into judgment, has been overcome to the degree that you can look out. Who convinceth me of sin? Christ's mind is not convinced by any appearance that there is anything there except perfect Christ. And who is that perfect Christ there? It is yourself. The minute you judge out there, you've said that out there isn't the Christ self of you. And you've broken the infinity of the omnipresent self in your consciousness, meaning you've separated from it. And you've lost. You're back to being a controlled creature. If I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Who convinceth me of sin is the truth. When I'm in I Christ, who convinceth me of sin? And you'll realize then that you're in the Christ mind when nothing in this world can convince you that sin is there, that evil is there, that error is there. It'll look that way to the human mind. But your Christ mind will say, I know it looks that way to the world, because the world mind has put it there that way. And the human mind is a captive audience. But wait a minute. Open the door to the Christ mind. I, in the midst of you, am greater than the world mind which placed the appearance of error there. I will dehypnotize you. I will do the impossible.
I will move the mountain. I will lift the veil. I will raise you to the point where you can see the kingdom of perfection that is ever present where you are. I will take you back before the beginning of form, before the beginning of concept, before the beginning of a fictitious mortal mind. And I will reveal to you my Father's kingdom right here on earth, here in the now, in your Christ identity, in your willingness to judge that. He that is of God heareth God's words, and ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now that's the soul, the Christ mind, saying to mortal mind, you cannot hear the words of God. It doesn't matter how long you try, you never will. And that's why you have to get out of mind. This is a permanent fact. The mind cannot hear the words of God. No sense trying to stuff the words in. You're stuffing them into that which isn't there. Just going along with the illusion. And then answered the Jews and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Now watch the perversion of the human mind. The human mind is the devil, but it accuses God of being the devil. The human mind turns and says to the Christ, you're a devil, you have a devil. God is dead to the human mind. To that which is dead, God is dead. They're right. Every human mind that believes God is dead is right. God is definitely dead to a dead human mind. And even when that dead human mind says God is present or God is alive, it means nothing. Because the highest places believe in God while killing. Believing in what God? Well, we have our God. But it isn't God. It's an idea in that mortal mind, the controlled mind. And it believes in good and evil. And that's why it goes out to kill off evil by committing more evil. Our freedom now is clearly out of mortal mind, accepting Christ's identity. Jesus answered, I have not a devil. Christ has no devil. I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. The human mind dishonors the Christ mind because it won't accept it. The human mind has no capacity to honor the Christ mind. It is the very counterfeit of the Christ mind. And it has fooled the human race into thinking that it is a real mind. Christ says, I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and maketh. You can recognize whether you're in the Christ mind or the world mind, because the human mind seeks its own glory. It has a personal sense of self. It has a human identity. The Christ mind has no human identity. It doesn't seek to glorify the physical self. It doesn't glorify the human being. It glorifies the Father. And if you find there's still a you there that wants to glorify yourself in some way, don't think you're in your Christ identity or your Christ mind, please. Let that be a sign to you that when you're still thinking in terms of your glory, your success, you haven't lost the personal sense of self. You're still under the controlled mind. When you have no personal glory, in fact, nothing to defend yourself against, nothing to acquire, just to be the invisible Christ, you'll find you're not striving and struggling because you are that invisible Christ already. And you're perfectly confident that just being what you are is all you ever have to be.
Now, of course, the Jews say, Abraham is dead. What are you talking about? And he has to come forth with this great saying. They say, are you greater than our father? Abraham, which is dead, the prophets too are dead. What makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. My Father honoreth me. In other words, God expresses the Christ. The infinite expresses the infinite individual. Always when you hear that word God, you're talking about infinity. And when you hear the word Christ, you're talking about infinity individualized as the child of infinity. The Father honoreth me. Christ is formed of infinity. Infinity expressing, as the ocean expresses the wave, is Christ where you are. Your name is always infinity individualized. The fullness of infinity individualized is Christ. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now he's telling him the truth about Abraham. He did accept himself to be the Christ of God. He did reach Christ's realization. He did step out of a mortal self. Abraham may have died as a form, but Christ is living. Abraham, the form, dies, but Christ remains continuously alive. And there's our escape valve out of the world. The form of us, we learn to step out of, in our consciousness, into the Christ of us, which is forever life. We make our transformation out of form identity into Christ or life identity, and we are forever living. So it says above, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Now who is this Christ of you? To differentiate from the form that began at a birth. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Christ of you has ever been. You are accepting your eternal being, not your form. The mortal mind has perpetuated the idea that we were born into a form and we began at that point. But before Abraham was, Christ is. And only when you are accepting Christ as your identity before Abraham are you accepting Christ as yourself. In your omnipresent Christ consciousness of the one infinite indivisible self, you go back before the Bible was written. You go back before man appeared on the earth. You go back before all the animals of Darwin's theory of evolution ever appeared in form. You go back before the first amoeba. You go back before every material form that ever walked this earth. You go back before the world was created. And truly, you accept that that continuous life of Christ, which is your life now, always has been your life, and your complete physical history is a myth. You never had a physical history. You never had a physical birth. You see, the moment you have a physical birth, a mortal birth, you are denying Christ's identity, because Christ never had a mortal birth. And therefore, if you persist in having the belief that you have had a physical life, you are denying Christ's identity. And so you're going to find pushing at us continuously is the understanding that the Christ spirit that I am is a continuous self, not moving and changing in time as it would appear to human beings, but pre-existent to all material form. Abraham is a symbol of all material form. always, before the world began, I am. What do the Jews do to a statement like that? What does your mind do to a statement like that is the same meaning. You either accept it and make up a way of life which enables you to live from that focus, or you do what the mind does here. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Ah, you remember they took up stones to cast the adulteress. Now they're doing it, casting it at Christ. Why? Because when they picked up stones to cast at the adulteress, they were picking them up to cast them at Christ. Why? They were not recognizing the Christ of the adulteress, and that's picking up stones. The moment you're not recognizing the Christ of yourself, you're throwing stones at yourself. You're crucifying Christ. The moment you're not recognizing the Christ of another, you're throwing stones at that Christ. And so they cannot accept that before Abraham was, I am, has any meaning whatsoever to them. It just doesn't make any sense to them, because they do not know that this is Christ, the infinite, ever-present life of God. They do not know when they pick up the stones to throw at Jesus that they are throwing stones at their own inner identity and saying, I am not the Christ. There is no such thing. And every time we do that, when we do not act out of Christ, we are throwing stones at our own identity. That's the peculiar distortion of the human mind. And it's distorted because it's not a divine creation. It knows not the Father. It knows not the reality. It knows not that the only self there is has ever been the only self and ever will be. There is no changing self, no self that comes in and goes out. There's no soul separating from a human body. There's only the permanent, eternal self. And as you learn to live with that knowledge, you are ready to face the tempter who says, come on out of that permanent, eternal self, and I'll give you worlds, and I'll give you glories, and I'll give you all kinds of protection and safety. And there isn't any such devil. There isn't any such tempter. Even to try to run away from a tempter is to give life to that which has no life. Perfection is the nature of your being. When you are not tempted to believe in imperfection, you are accepting Christ's identity. Now we're still in Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. We have finished John 8, where the mind of man picks up stones and throws them at that which is the Christ identity, because it cannot accept it. We are either picking up stones or we are laying down that mind and accepting. The tempter is going to say, pick up stones, throw them. Christ is going to say, who convinceth me that there is a tempter? Who convinceth me that I lack or am limited? That's that phony mind which exists only when you're not in the Christ mind. So that's the fence we're standing on. We're going to conclude the Get Thee Behind Me, Satan, very quickly next week, and move into the next chapter as well, which is No End. No End. You'll see what that means, or you already have. We're going into the ninth chapter of John, about the blind man. We're going to see now how to live in Christ's identity without turning away from it and accepting the subtle suggestions of the world mind, which has controlled us these thousands and thousands of illusory years. see. No, it's not Mother's Day yet. I guess we got another Sunday before that. At any rate, thanks for being here today, and see you soon.
Thank you.